Our theme this evening is the city God wanted to save. We're going to look at this over a few weeks again, and we're going to look at Jonah chapter 1 this evening. Of course, the story of Jonah must be one of the best known portions of God's word in the Bible. Our children have asked, could probably give us a good account of what took place in this little book. A man called to preach the gospel. He runs away, swallowed by a great fish, vomited up on dry land, saved a great city. Yeah, our children could tell us that, couldn't they? But not many of our children would stop and think, am I a Jonah? Am I running away from the Lord? And you know, at this time in history, this is probably a very fitting book to study. For in these days in which we live, so many are running away from God. So let's look at this first chapter together and see what we can learn from it this evening. And we're not going into it into the depths that we could. We could look at it over many, many weeks, but we only plan to look at it over a few weeks. And the first thing we want to see this evening is the call of God to save a city. The call of God to save a city. Verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here we have God's call to his servant Jonah. It's an urgent call. Arise, go. There's no time to waste. The countdown has started for this great city. There's only 6 weeks left. Only 6 weeks left of sinful wickedness. Only 6 weeks left of life before God ends it. Only 6 weeks left before a prophetic fulfillment of God's wrath upon this great city. Yes, just 6 weeks left. Is there any hope for this great city? Yes, there is. Yes, there is hope for Nineveh. But that hope rests in a prophet named Jonah. And what's he doing? He's relaxing. He's sitting maybe in the shade, and the word of the Lord comes to him. And God says, Jonah, arise. It's as if the Lord saying to Jonah, you've had enough sleep, you've had enough relaxing, you've had enough rest, it's time to get up, Jonah, and go. Are you relaxing? Are you sitting in the shade? Are you sleeping in these crucial days when the Lord needs you? If you are, then these words to Jonah apply to you and to me. Arise, go. But where was Jonah to go? To that great city of Nineveh. And we could look at Nineveh and say that Nineveh stands for a lost world, tottering on the brink of doom and destruction. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. Arise and go. Go take my word to the lost people of this area. Yes, go and take my promise with you that my word will not return unto me void. What a promise that is. My word will not return unto me void. It means that every tract, every verse quoted will either convict or condemn. God's word will either convict the sinner and turn him to Christ, or it will be used to condemn the sinner to hell for all eternity. This is the call of God to save a city. And that call has been given to Jonah. But the second thing we want to see is the condition of Jonah's heart. The condition of Jonah's heart. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the further off and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here we see the condition of Jonah's heart. What was this condition? Well, it was a rebellious heart. It was a disobedient heart. It was a troubled heart. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, but instead he heads for Joppa. He was told to go to the east, but Jonah goes to the west. Completely the opposite direction than what God wants him to go. He's disobeying a direct command of God, and he's placing himself on a slippery slope, and there's only one direction he can go. And when we depart from doing God's will, then down is the only direction possible for us to go. In our walk with God, it's better for us to climb to the higher ground. In other words, we need to be walking hand in hand with the Lord towards heaven. If we don't, then we're downward bound, just like Jonah. You know, it's worth saying, even now at the beginning of our study of Jonah, that God had more trouble getting Jonah going than he did in the saving of this great city of Nineveh. The Lord had no problem whatsoever in getting this great city to repent. For the Lord, this was an easy thing. But look at the trouble that God has to go through to get Jonah to Nineveh. This is the condition of Jonah's heart: rebellious, disobedient, willful neglect. Willful neglect of his duty. And the third thing we want to see is the chastening of Jonah. And we see this in the verses 4 to 16. The chastening of Jonah. Let's read together a portion of God's word that tells us about chastening and the chastening of his people. And this is a good exercise for us. You'll know these verses. You'll find them in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 4 to verse 11. Here's the Lord chastening his people. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sin is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The chastening of the Lord. God will chasten us. He will chasten his people. Why? Because he loves us. That's why we are chastened of the Lord. That's the answer. Because he loves us. When we correct our children and our grandchildren, why do we do it? Because we love them. That's why we do it. We can see that the thing that they have done or said will harm them either at that time or in later life. So we correct them. We chastise them. And it's the same with the Lord. When we are chastened, it's for our good. It may not seem like it at the time, but it is for our good and for the good of others as well around us. And so the Lord chastens Jonah. Look at how he begins. Jonah is on his way to Tarshish, as he thought, but the Lord of the sea and of the wind brings up a storm. What's the Lord doing? He is pursuing after Jonah. He is pursuing him. And as yet, of course, Jonah doesn't know it. But he will never reach Tarshish. He will never reach Tarshish. The Lord has a job for him to do in Nineveh. But meanwhile, look at what he's doing again in verse 5 and 6 of our chapter. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the words that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it off them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, so it shall be. God will think upon us that we perish not. This storm is fierce and is troubling the sailors. And when a storm troubles the sailors, then there really is a bad storm. For sailors are used to being on the sea. High waves are normal for them. So this must have been some storm whenever these sailors were troubled. But there was someone in the ship who was not troubled. And it was Jonah. Up upon deck, work is going on to lighten the ship. And the fear of death is real. This is how real this storm is. They are fearful of their lives. And God is pursuing after Jonah. And he's using the storm to pursue him. And And now he's about to be awakened out of his sleep by a heathen captain in verse 6, the shipmaster, to awaken him out of his sleep. He's about to be awakened to a great storm that's raging around him and about up on board the ship. But this storm that's raging is nothing compared to the storm which is about to brew up in Jonah's heart. See, the crew of this ship are well used to these rough seas, like I've said. But there's something strange, very strange about this storm. And it seems that this storm literally did come out of nowhere. And we know that this storm was sent of God. And whenever these sailors set sail from Joppa, it was a calm, it seemed to be have been a calm and a perfect day for sailing. But they're not really that terribly long gone whenever this storm blows up. It just comes out of nowhere. And so, because of this, the sailors begin to question themselves. Verse 7. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. They're troubled. Isn't that very strange how these heathen men are so troubled about a storm? Well, the God of the waves and of the sea has put this troubled heart upon them. He is in control. Remember, he's pursuing after Jonah. Jonah is his quest. And so he's going to use this storm and he's going to bring Jonah back to himself. Who has committed this evil? These sailors say, they ask. They're determined to find the culprit. And so after casting lots, the lot fell upon Jonah. So they've got their man. They find their man. And then they don't hesitate to interrogate him. Immediately, the interrogation of Jonah begins. Verse 8. They ask Jonah straight out, what have you done? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? Where are you going? Straight forward, but very simple questions. And they want answers. And Jonah is in such a position that he can't lie. He can't lie to these men. This is not a time for lying. These sailors, I think, through the Lord's providence, would have caught Jonah on right away if he had begun to lie to them. And so it's from these questions the sailors get to the truth. And Jonah tells them, I'm a Hebrew man. I'm a Hebrew man. And not only am I a Hebrew man, but I am a prophet of the Lord. And I'm fleeing from him. Now remember, these men are heathen men, these sailors. At this stage, we'll come back to them a little later. But they're unbelievers. They're calling upon every god that they know to try and get them out of this situation in which they find themselves. So perilous is the situation that they find themselves in. But then Jonah says something to them that I think really pricks their hearts. He says, I believe in the God who made the sea on the dry land. Jonah says, I believe in the God who made the sea and in the dry land. Well, what was their problem? It was the sea. The sea was tempestuous. It was raging all around them. The waves were coming out over the ship. They were fearful of sinking and drowning. No man could swim against these waves. They would have all perished and were lost. And whenever these sailors hear this, it makes them even more afraid. And look what they say to Jonah in verse 10. Why have you done this? What a question. These men perceive in their hearts that God is angry with Jonah. And they're right, of course. God is angry with Jonah. He's pursuing Jonah. And he's using the storm to pursue Jonah. But what makes these men ask such a question? Why have you done this? Well, is it not because they see the God of Jonah punishing Jonah for one small sin they believe he has committed in running away from his duties? They think this is God's punishment on Jonah for one small sin of running away from his duties. These heathen men, that's what they're thinking. Are they not thinking to themselves, if this is how God punishes his own people, Jonah, what will he do with us who have so many sins to account for? This is the mindset of these sailors as they battle a raging storm, a tempestuous storm, we're told. Rowing is of no consequence whatsoever. They're getting nowhere. The God of Israel was chastening Jonah. And the fourth thing we want to see this evening is, what shall we do with a sinner? What shall we do with a sinner? Verse 11. And they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. What shall we do with a sinner? The sailors have now discovered that Jonah is their man. He's the reason why the tempest is upon them. But their troubles are getting worse. Instead of the sea beginning to calm, it now gets even more violent. In verse 11, it gets more tempestuous. Things are getting worse. They're fearful of their lives before this, but now things are beginning to get desperate. And as they turn to Jonah and they ask him, what shall we do with thee, that the sea may be calmed and it might be all right with us? That's the question they asked Jonah. That's not very strange for a crew of heathens to ask Jonah for his opinion on a thing like this. They're facing death. And they ask Jonah for his opinion. Now, I find that amazing. It seems that although they know that he's the problem, yet they have respect unto Jonah. They now know he's the Lord's servant. And it's as though they don't want God's wrath brought down upon them. And so they turn to Jonah. And of course, Jonah is in absolutely no doubt why the storm is raging. And he makes the decision for the sailors. Cast me forth into the sea, and all will be calm and well with thee. What shall we do with thee? Here's the answer. Jonah gives him the answer. Pick me up and cast me into the sea. But at this stage it doesn't work. The sailors have seen with their eyes and with the fear of their hearts what the Lord can do, and are very fearful of divine vengeance upon them. So what do they try to do? They give it one more go. Lads, let's get together. Let's put our backs into these oars and let's give it one more go and try to get this ship to land. That's their thoughts. They don't want to throw Jonah overboard. For them, that is the absolute last resort. They don't want to do it. So what do? It doesn't work. They row as hard as they can, but the sea gets even more violent and more violent. The Lord's pursuing Jonah. That's why these men are not fit to get this ship to land. So what do? They return to Jonah's instruction of casting him into the sea, but not without doing something Jonah should be doing. Verse 14, they turned to the Lord. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thy, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. These men are now crying on to the living God, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. What a cry. What a cry over the waves and the tempestuous sea. We beseech thee, O Lord. These men were afraid of the God of Jonah. They're afraid of the God of Jonah. Had one heard the scriptures before? Had one heard of those words, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm? Had one of these men heard these words before? These sailors were caught in a great dilemma. If we don't throw him overboard, we die by the raging sea. And if we do throw him overboard, we die by the vengeance of God upon us for what we do to his prophet. They're in a dilemma. How do they get out of this dilemma? Well, they pray. They pray. How do you get out of a dilemma? How do you get out of a problem in your life? Well, here's what you might do first. You'll probably do what these sailors did. With all your might, you'll try to get out of your problem yourself. And you'll probably not take it to the Lord in prayer. And you will do everything in your power to get out of that problem before you take it to the Lord in prayer. And when we think about it, we know what we should do first, don't we? Immediately we should be on our knees taking it to the Lord in prayer. But we don't. We're sinners. They're in a dilemma. And then they come to the Lord in prayer. And it's as if the Lord answers their prayer right away. Verse 14 ends, "For thy, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee." For thy, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. These sailors are saying to the Lord, "You, Lord, have put us in this position. You, Lord, the God of the sea and of the dry land, you have put us in this position. We don't want to throw this man to his death, but you, Lord, have put us in this position that we don't have a choice." It's amazing, isn't it? How these men have come to this decision. They see no other way out. So now they proceed to execute Jonah as they thought, and they throw him into the midst of the raging sea. As far as they are concerned, Jonah's dead, gone, forgotten. They were doing God's will. They didn't want to do it. But they were doing God's will. So they thought they were killing Jonah. But what was God doing? God was actually saving Jonah. That's what God was doing. God was pursuing Jonah. This great tempestuous sea was raised by the Lord. It came out of nowhere on a calm sailor's day. God was saving Jonah. And not only was he saving Jonah, but there was a great city God wanted to save. And there's only 39 days left now to save this city. Only 39 days left. Nineveh, that great city of wickedness, which came up before the Lord. The countdown continues. Before he can save Nineveh, Jonah must be chastened and brought back under God's control. But it seems that God not only wanted to save the city of Nineveh, it seems it has pleased God to save these sailors too. Isn't that amazing? They vowed that Jonah's God was the only God worth their praise. Verse 16. "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." What a change in their hearts. When they set sail and the storm began to rise, they were calling upon all the gods that they could think of, except the God of Jonah. But now, things are so different. They fear the God of Jonah exceedingly, and they offer sacrifices for their souls. What an amazing God we have. How he used these sailors to execute what he had brought to pass in the chastening of Jonah and in the saving of Jonah. So what's the moral of this story so far? Well, the moral of this story so far is, if the Lord is chastening you, stop running. Stop running and start listening to God. Why? Because he loves you. That's why. All this trouble that these sailors had, that Jonah had, was because Jonah had a rebellious heart. And he was running away from the God of heaven, who wanted them to go to a great city of wickedness and preach the gospel. That's why he ran away. His fear of Nineveh was more than of God at that time when he ran to Joppa. And he boarded that ship to Nineveh. And he very, very happily paid the price thereof. He wanted to go as far away from God as he could. God told him to go east, and Jonah went west. Have you done that lately? Has God asked you to do something, and you have went to the west? You've tried to get out of it, and maybe still trying. Well, stop running. Stop running and put your faith and trust in the God of Jonah. Because if you don't, chastening will come. It will come. And it can be very trying and very troublesome until you stop running and turn back to the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to us this evening.